I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel for a scripture reading tonight, to the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, Ezekiel chapter 33, and reading from verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite in prayer, please. Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for the meeting. We thank thee for the message in song. We bless thee that we can survey the wondrous cross. And our God, we thank thee that that wondrous cross has been a turning point in so many lives that are here this evening. We bless thee for that turning point when we came and sat at the foot of the cross, and our sins, though they were many, are all washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst turn others to thyself tonight, and that thou wouldst bless the word of God as it goes forth. For it's in Jesus' precious name that would ask these things. Amen. Verse 11 is a starting point tonight again. Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Life has many significant turning points in it. And you can perhaps think of turning points in your own life. Maybe it was when your family moved from one district to another, or when you made a certain friendship, or certainly when you met your spouse, or when you chose your career. Those were turning points that have significance in your life. Even in our day-to-day experience, we have turns. You couldn't have got here if you hadn't made turns. And many of the turns that we make, of course, have no great significance in and of themselves. But maybe you turned down a certain road one day and you went into an accident. Or maybe there was another occasion when you turned away from a road that you usually went down and you avoided some accident or some great catastrophe. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about turning. And in this passage of Scripture, Ezekiel is told to bring a message from God. And it was a message to turn. And you'll notice, if you read the passage again, how many times God speaks about the people turning. He says that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then he makes this plea, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? They were to turn from death. And of course, this is not just earthly significance, but this is a turn which has eternal and spiritual significance. And it is that type of turn that I want to consider tonight. Because there are turning points in your life. There are significant times when you can turn to the right hand or to the left. You can turn onto the road that leads to life. Or you can keep on the road that leads to destruction and to eternal death. And I want us to think about some of these turning points that the Scriptures speak about. There are a number of turns that I want us to consider here in the Word of God. And the first turn that I want you to see is the turn of faith. Now, this is what we have read Ezekiel chapter 33 about. This is the turn of faith. God says to the people, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And you notice the fact that God urges them to turn means that they're on the wrong road. They're going the wrong direction. There needs to be a turn. There needs to be a change. There needs to be a complete alteration on the direction that they are going. Now, when we think of that, I want you to think about the essential nature of this turn. You notice here it speaks of their evil ways. These people were on a path, and God describes it as an evil way. Indeed, God uses the plural here. They are evil ways. They had not just gone down one track of evil. They had not just gone down one road of evil, but they had been down multiple paths of evil. And God says to these people, you need to turn or you'll die. If you don't turn, you'll die. And of course, the message here in Ezekiel is given by God to the land of Judah. Ezekiel was in Babylon with the land of Israel and so on, and some of the Jews. The princes of Judah had already been brought there, and the Jews, where some of them were still present in Palestine, but they were a people who had turned away from their God. And you only have to glance through the book of Ezekiel to see their sin. For example, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 14 and you look at verse 13, it says there, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressing grievously. And God says to these people, your ways are grievous to me. Your land is sinning. It is trespassing against me. And not only is it trespassing, but it is grieving me sore. God cries out against the evil of this people. Turn back also to chapter 12. We're just picking out a few examples. You could get many others and maybe better ones. But look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. And you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll read about the people, they're running after idols, they're enticed by the people round about them into the idolatry of false gods and into sin and into wickedness, and they're running in the wrong path. Now, if you're outside of Christ in this meeting, that is certainly something that is true of you. You're in an evil path, a rebellious path, a path that is grievous to God, seeking after idols, maybe not a little statue that you put in the corner and you bow down to. But maybe it is the idols of the rich and famous. It might be the idols of a material wealth, lifestyle. It may be wealth, it may be material goods, but some of those things you're placing in front of God. W.A. Criswell was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas in America. And one evening he was sitting in the home of one of the real wealthy people in Dallas. Criswell said that before he came to Dallas, he hadn't come into contact with real wealth the way that he did in Dallas. But for some reason, this man who had W.A. Criswell in his home decided to bring out a book that he had. And in this book, he had recorded all his investments, and he had recorded details about the businesses that he had and the assets that he had. And he took this book out for some reason, and he was showing Dr. Criswell all the mighty possessions that he had. Here were the possessions of a lifetime, all listed down. And there was page after page, and it amounted to millions and millions of dollars. Indeed, this man was responsible for erecting one of the high-rise buildings that are still in Dallas today. A great businessman, a man of immense wealth. But you know, when this man had gone through all the book and he showed all the assets that he had, he said to Dr. Criswell, and I quote, "It's nothing but trash. Nothing but trash." You see, for all his wealth and for all that he had gained and for all the material things that he had, he realized that in the face of death, it was nothing. And you might be striving for those things and looking for those things, and your life might be dedicated to those things tonight. But here's a man who realized the true wealth, a worth of wealth. It was as trash in his sight. But there are so many people today, and they think that's life, that's what it consists of. And you're going down a road that is a road of wickedness and a road that is grievous in the sight of a righteous and holy God. You are lost. Lost and undone. And Ezekiel says here, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why will you go on a road that leads to death? Why go out of this scene of time without the one who alone can give you rest? Turn to God. That is the turn that you need to make, the turn of faith. But not only do we see the essential nature of this turn, but I want you to see the essence of the turn. What does he mean here when he says turn? Turn ye, for why will ye die? Here is God, and you have the picture of the God of heaven, the sovereign of the universe, the mighty God who has made all things. And he is pleading with sinners. He is pleading with you. Now that makes it important. That makes it vitally important. Here's a word from God. God is pleading. He is coming to you and he says, turn, for why will you die? But that word turn there is a very interesting word. It's a word that you can see that Ezekiel uses many times. And in the Hebrew, it is a word shuv. And it is a word which is sometimes translated repent. And when you look at the different uses of the word in the Old Testament, you begin to realize what God is calling upon you to do when he says to turn. For example, turn back to where Solomon dedicated the temple. And we read that when Solomon dedicated the temple, he knelt on a great platform and he raised his hands towards heaven. And he prayed and he said, if they sin against me, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies. And then he goes on, then hear thou their prayer and supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. Now, I want you to notice that passage, and it is the word repent. That is the same word that is used here by Ezekiel when he says turn. He says, if in this land, when they have been carried captives, if they suffer for their sin, they are suffering on this road of destruction, they are suffering on this road of sin, and if they turn, if they repent, God says, I'll forgive them. So the word turn and the word repent is the same word. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 14 and look at verse 6. And we have another instance of this word shuv, the Hebrew word shuv. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Tell these people that the Lord says, shuv, repent, turn, turn. God wants you to turn. God wants you to leave behind that road that is leading to destruction and turn and get on the road that leads to life. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel is very fond of this word. But just to give you another instance, look at verses 30 and 31. He says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn. Shuv. There is the word again. Turn. Shuv and shuv. Repent and turn and live. And the Greek for the word is exactly the same. Metanoia. Change your way. Change your path. I heard of a hillbilly one time in the Ozark Mountains, and there was a man who stopped on the road to ask him a direction to a certain town. He says, I want to go to such and such a town and such a town. Do you know how far it is? And the old hillbilly paused. He says, well, mister, if you go on down that path, it's 24,999 miles. But if you turn back, it's only 5 minutes back up the road. And that's repentance. If you go on the way you're going, you're just going further away. But if you turn back, God will receive you. God is there to enfold you in loving arms. He's not that far. He's behind you, dear friend. This is a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Walk in God's path. Turn around. And the essence of repentance and the essence of to turn is this word repentance. The true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you repent. We think of Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Here it speaks of the gospel and what it's about. And what is it about? Well, it is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. The prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah 1:3, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you. God will turn to you. God will bring you in. God will enfold you in his arms. We live in a day when repentance has gone out of the gospel. It is so little preached today. Men are not told to turn away from their sin. The Gallup organization, the pollsters, organized a poll among Christians in America, and they came up with a very sad conclusion. They said there's little difference in ethical behavior between the churched and the unchurched. There's as much pilferage and dishonesty among the churched as the unchurched, and I'm afraid that applies pretty much across the board. Religion per se is not really life-changing. People cite it as an important, for instance, in overcoming depression, but it doesn't have the primacy in determining behavior. Well, if that's the case, then it's not true Christianity. Because true Christianity involves a turn away from sin. We read in Joel chapter 2 and verse 12, therefore, Also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. That's the essence of the gospel. There's got to be a turn. Have you ever turned? Are you on the road to destruction tonight? There needs to be a turnaround. There needs to be a coming. That's the essence of this turn. But not only do we see the essential nature of the turn and the essence of the turn, but I want you to see the expectation of the turn. Because God has promised here that if you turn, that he'll receive you. And that indicates to me that this turn is possible. You see, there are so many people today and they're caught up in their sin, and particularly maybe some of the addictive sins like alcohol or gambling or smoking or some of these things that are addictive. And they have the idea that they could never turn, that there could never be a change, that there could never be a transformation. Maybe you've tried to change by your own power and you haven't been able. But the Lord says, turn unto me and I'll receive you. Turn unto me and there'll be a change. Come to me and I will give you rest. Turn ye, for why will you die? There's life in Christ. There's life in the Savior. Listen to Zechariah 1 and 3. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you. That's the turn of faith. And dear friend, you need by faith to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I want you to see another turn. Turn with me in your Bibles over to the book of Titus and look at chapter 1. Of the book of Titus, the epistle of Paul to Titus, and turn over to chapter 1 and look at verse 14. He says, this witness is true, verse 13. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, if one was the turn of faith, this is the turn of the fool. You turn away from the faith. You know, people can make wrong turns. I read of a young man who made a number of wrong turns. He was a 20-year-old. He was arrested by the Omaha police in America on suspicion of robbery and giving police wrong information. And this man, he thought he would make easy money. And there was a young woman, a 20-year-old young woman, and she was stopped at a petrol station. She was getting some fuel, and she was going into the convenience store beside the petrol station, part of the petrol station. But this man ran up, grabbed her handbag and was heading off. That was the first wrong turn that he made to do that. But then he made another wrong turn because in running away, he ran towards the police station. And as he ran towards the police station, there were two officers who were standing outside the police station who witnessed all that was taking place. And they saw the man, they jumped into their police car and caught the suspect and arrested him. And then he made a third wrong move because he lied to the police and denied all that he had done. And he made a real mess of things. He should have heeded the advice of the scriptures in Psalm 34 and 14 that says, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. But this man, young man, went wrong. He had made a wrong turn. You know, there are people who make wrong turns. The Bible says an evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sin and be glad. Maybe you've made a few wrong turns in your time. Maybe you have gone the wrong direction. Maybe you've fallen in with the wrong crowd. Maybe you've got involved in the wrong situation. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just the last, the chapter before the one we've just read, and look at verses 3 and 4, and it says much the same thing. Here were those that turned away from the truth, for the time will come, it says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, if there was ever a description of this day and age, that's it. People have turned away from the truth and turned to fables. New age religions. You get all sorts of nonsense propagated on the television. I've had those programs that were about the Bible or about David and things like that, and denying that David existed. And it showed the evidence, some of the evidence that exists. There is a little inscription that speaks of one of the kings of the house of David, and so on and so forth, and all the evidence and the Bible. But they still come up and they deny because they give heed to fables. We're told that all religions lead to the same truth. That's a fable. We're told that everybody will be all right in the end of the day. That's not what the Bible says. It's a fable. Oh, it might be pleasant to hear. It may be something that people want to grasp at and to hold on to. But it is the lie of the devil. Fables. And the fool turns away from the truth. You know, it mightn't be pleasant to hear that you're on the road to destruction. It mightn't be pleasant to hear that you're going down the road to a Christless eternity. But far better to face the truth. But not only do these fools turn away from the truth, but they turn away from the ways of righteousness. Turn over to 2 Peter and to chapter 2 and verse 21. It describes the people there. It says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So these are people that are turning from the way of righteousness. You notice what the Bible says, it had been better for them that they had not heard it. You see, there are degrees of punishment. The man out there in the jungle who has never heard the gospel, he's now without excuse, but at the same time, he will not be judged the way that you are judged now that you have been in this meeting and you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from righteousness. Turn to the meeting like this. Turn away from Christ. Turn away from the Bible. Dear friend, now that you've heard the truth, it is far better that you heed it now. You've got to heed it. Because you've heard it. You've heard the way of life. And if you go down to destruction, it's going to be worse for you than those that have never heard. It puts an onus on you that you get right with God. They've turned away from truth. They've turned away from the ways of righteousness. But they've turned from something else. They've turned from God's protection and guidance. Turn back again in the Bible to the book of Numbers. And here we have another instance of turning. Turn to Numbers chapter 32 and look at verses 13 to 15. Here are the children of Israel. And it says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all that generation that had done the evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead as an increase of sinful men to augment, and yet the fierce anger of Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. So here are people who had known the guidance of God. They had known God's deliverance out of Egypt. But they were turning away from the truth. They were turning away from God's protection. They were turning away from God's guidance. God was guiding them through the wilderness. God was showing them the right way to go. But they, in their rebellion, were saying, no, we're not going that way. And God says, if you do that, you'll wander in the wilderness. You'll perish in the wilderness. The only way to safety is God's way. The only way of blessing is God's way. The only way to the promised land is God's way. If you don't go God's way, you'll wander and perish. The way that the children of Israel did. Now, that's foolishness. That's the turn of a fool. To turn away from God's truth. To turn away from God's commandments. To turn away from God's protection and guidance. Not to heed the wisdom of Almighty God. That's the turn of a fool. So we notice the turn of faith and the turn of a fool. But I want you to see another turn. Turn over to Psalm 9 and look at verse 17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now this is a turn that is final. You're on the road and you're turned into hell. Now the word turn there is a word that actually means turn back. They're turned back into hell. They come forth to the judgment. Many of them out of hell. The Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're turned back into hell for all eternity. Now you think of those people, and they come to the judgment, and they have been in that place, and they know something of the awfulness of that place, and turn back by the hand of Almighty God. Richard Baxter used to go up and down England years ago saying, sinner, turn or burn. The great C.H. Spurgeon had a sermon that he entitled, Turn or Burn. Today, we hesitate perhaps to use such stark language. And yet people sit in front of the TV set and they listen to the blasphemy and they listen to the violence. Or they look at the violence. They sit and watch murder after murder. And when a preacher gets up and says, turn or burn, that shocks. That brings a gasp of breath. But you know, maybe we are not right in being mealy-mouthed about hell and about what the Bible has to say. Because you need to be warned. There is a place called hell. And I would be an insensitive being if I was not to warn you about it. Now people invent all sorts of doctrines and all sorts of movements and isms to get out of facing the plain fact that it is repent or hell. It is turn or hell. We are living in a day when people are trying to prove that God will clear all the guilty. But the Bible says that he won't. They say that everybody will end up in heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. Today, 200 years ago, the predominant strain in the preaching of the pulpits in England and America was terror and justice and the wrath of God. And it produced a breed of God-fearing men and women. Now we lack the soft gospel, easy believism, do what you want, a soft generation of Christians who want to do what they want. Oh, how we need the plain preaching of the Word of God afresh. You know, my friends, people sneered at Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. He told people the plain truth. You can imagine Noah coming to Northern Ireland and walking up and down the streets, paraded with naked flesh and outright disobedience against God's plain teaching. And men and women raising their fists and mocking and sneering against that preaching. Oh, men and women, here's our preacher of righteousness. Men don't want to hear about righteousness. They don't want to hear about holiness. They don't want to hear about truth. But here is a turn that is final. The wicked shall be turned into hell. You know, you could take a turn tonight that would be final. As we come to the end of this meeting, we're going to ask you to get right with God. We're going to invite you to the Savior. We're going to ask you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And we want you to make, as it were, your choice. Now, what is it going to be? What turn are you going to make tonight? Are you going to turn away from your sin and turn to Christ? Or are you going to turn away and reject and go out of this meeting? You see, dear friend, one day your turn could be a final turn. I read about a man by the name of Jim Kim. He was an executive in the CNET company. And in December 2006, he and his family were on vacation. It was December, and they were up in Oregon. They were spending a few days around Christmas. He and his wife, Katie, and their two daughters, Penelope and Sabina. One was 7, the other was 4 months. And they were making their way through the snowy mountains of Oregon. There was a great danger of a very heavy snowfall, and it came. The snow came. And they came to a certain part of the road, and the road seemed to be blocked with snow. It was one of those roads that had not been ploughed, and they were seeking to just see where the road was. And his wife just at one point cried out, she said, "Turn here!" And he turned. And it was to be his last turn. Because they went on down the road, and they got into a place where they got stuck in the snow, and they couldn't go forward and they couldn't go backwards. And after 2 days in the car, he said to his wife, he said, "I've got to go. I've got to see if I can get help." And he got out of the car, and he had nothing but his street clothes and a pair of trainers on, and he set off out into the snow and the freezing temperatures. And the rugged logs that were all about, and the poison ivy, and the ice, and the snow, and across the rugged terrain to try and get help. 4 days later, his wife got the courage to get out of the vehicle, and she waved an umbrella to attract the attention of passing helicopters, and they found her. And after they found her, they went to look for Jim. And they found Jim's lifeless body. They marvelled at how far he had gone. He had gone 8 miles across that rugged terrain. And the temperatures were well below freezing. And they couldn't understand how he'd even got 8 miles. But after 8 miles, that's as far as he got. You know, the tragedy was that within a short distance of where he died, there was a cabin. And the cabin had all the resources, and it had firewood, and it had food, and he could have survived there, and he could have holed up there until he got help. But you know, that turn that he made was his final turn. Maybe tonight, as far as eternity is concerned, will be your final turn. It'll be your decision for all eternity. And then it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Oh, dear friend, there's cleansing the precious blood. There's cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. Turn to the Savior. Turn to the One who is able to give you life and give you the mighty blessings of heaven itself. Will you turn and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's just bow in a word of prayer.